Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 results conference call for Berger Paints India Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today Mr. Abhijit Roy, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Vikas Sarda, CFO and Vice President, Mr. Sujyoti Mukherjee, Vice President, Finance and Accounts. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Saaksha Mantoo from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. I shall now hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Saaksha. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to all of you to the Berger Paints Q2 FY23 earnings call. Just for information, the company presentation on the performance has been uploaded on the website, and the standard disclaimer that questions should be restricted to the quarter only. With this, I will hand over to Mr. Abhijit Roy, our MD and CEO, to talk about the performance of the company before we can take your questions. Over to Mr. Roy.
Thank you, Sujyoti, and good evening and a warm welcome to all of you. I will start first with a quick look at the results so far, which we have published for the Q2. The value growth, as we see it, is 22.5% on a standalone basis, and on consolidated, it's 20%. The operating profit growth is 4.7% on a standalone basis. Consolidated is 2.8%. On a half-yearly basis, it is on a standalone, if you look at the growth, 36.7%, and operating profit growth, 31.9%. On a three-year CAGR basis, we have just taken that from 2019-2020 because of this COVID period. There have been ups and downs in this period, and it tends to distort the picture a little bit. The three-year CAGR, if you look at the quarter, it's at 18.4%, and three-year EBITDA growth is 13.1%. On a half-yearly basis, the three-year CAGR is 17.3% delivered by us, and operating profit growth, 11% so far. If we look more into the depth, the decorative business continued to grow well in the Q2. We registered double-digit volume growth and a value growth about 23% plus. We gained significant market share up to the half-year mark from 18%-18.8%, going by the figures which have been published by the five leading players whose results are declared already and are traded in the stock market. If we look at the reasons for the type of growth that we have had so far in top line, network expansion, there has been a significant increase in the number of dealers added in this quarter. We have been adding, on an average, about 3,000-4,000 machines per year. On the half-year mark, we typically used to do about 1,500-1,800. This quarter, we have almost doubled that number or closer to 1.8 times that number. We installed about 3,200 machines in this particular half-year period up to 2022 September end. Our numbers were, instead of 1,800, 1,700, 1,800 for the half-year, it's about 3,200. We expect that this network expansion drive will continue through the year. The second part is non-machine dealers also. We added a fairly large number. These mainly through the distributors. These include not only paint but also non-paint dealers who got added. That number is in excess of 2,000 that we added in the first half, and we expect to maintain a similar number or slightly increase it in the second half. T1, T2 and T3 cities all showed high double-digit growth over corresponding quarter last year. Rural markets grew at a slower pace, especially in the north central region. Construction chemical segment registered strong growth in the quarter. We introduced three new products in this quarter. Silk Glamour in the matte finish range. There's a demand which is picking up in matte finish, especially in the northern areas. And this product has been introduced for that purpose. And then there were two products which we introduced in the waterproofing area. One called Damstop Advanced. It is to basically repair if there is, you know, dampness there on the walls without having to break open the wall and then, you know, go right to the brick surface. This can be applied by just removing the paint coat and the putty coat, and then this particular chemical can be applied and it will do a very good job of waterproofing. This comes under the name Damstop Advanced. Then we introduced another product called Damstop Duo. This is basically a primer with inbuilt waterproofing properties. So it does a job of a primer coat. At the same time, it does also waterproofing. Both these products have just been introduced and is doing very well and well received in the marketplace. In the industrial side, we have GI and auto business, which showed good growth during the quarter. As we all know, the auto industry has revived somewhat. Even the two-wheeler industry has done slightly better than what they have been doing so far. The commercial vehicle, of course, is growing at a much faster pace on a lower base. So these two categories in which we are heavily present are doing well. The general industries category also has done reasonably well in this quarter. Protective coatings, in which we are the leader in India, continues to grow very strongly and registered another strong quarterly growth in quarter two. Significant price increases were achieved in the industrial business lines. Some of it came also in September and then in October as well. So the impact will be felt much more possibly in the third quarter in terms of improvement of the profitability of the industrial business line. Powder coatings business line had a negative growth, impacted by the slowdown in the business of fan manufacturers on account of certain regulatory changes which are to come into effect from the 1st of January 2023. However, this business line has a very small contribution to our total top line and therefore, you know, hasn't had any great significant impact, but it did have, you know, little bit of a drag on the overall growth rate. Profitability. Raw material as a percentage of sale went up mainly on account of material price increases, partly offset by increase in product prices. There was no significant product price increase taken in quarter two. We did take a small price increase, which was there. As the industry took the price increase, we also took the same amount of price increase. However, the raw material prices went up much more. We did not take up the prices again in that quarter because the prices had started softening from August onwards, and we could see that, you know, it is going downwards, so there's no point taking up the prices of finished products and then reducing it again. And so we retained our prices in quarter two. Quarter three, the raw material prices are likely to soften, you know, compared to what it was last year and what it was in quarter two. And therefore, there will be an expansion in gross margin in Q3. Softening of monomer and solvent prices have happened and has remained at those lower levels. The titanium dioxide prices have also started moving down. and is also softening a little bit. Profitability for the quarter was also impacted on account of an inclusion of one-time subsidy income of 18.7 crores last year in this same quarter. If you remove this, then of course the operating profit percentage would move up significantly. Mixed improvement likely in quarter 3 and quarter 4 on the back of increased sales of exterior wall coatings and waterproofing items which have high gross margin. Regarding capacity, we have set up this for some time. We have been working on this new facility at Sandila. It is now almost ready for production. We are just waiting for the final certifications and, you know, other approvals that are required. And we should be able to kickstart production from the month of December. Estimated outlay for this entire project was in slightly in excess of 1,000 crores. The potential increase in capacity will be in a two-shift basis, almost 33% increase in capacity will happen. So that's a significant addition to our capacity from one plant, fairly large plant, and this is the largest for us in India. Company has also acquired 30 acres of land in Panagar in West Bengal for the manufacturing of construction chemicals, resin and industrial products. Estimated outlay is about 175 crores. Further brownfield expansions in Hindupur for solvent and resin and Vishra for emulsions and water-based expansion is on the way and should be ready by next year. I have already discussed about the financial performance. That is 22.5% on the standalone basis, you know, top line growth, 4.7% PBDIT growth, and then if you look at the growth in terms of the standalone half year numbers, total income growth 36.7%, operating profit growth 31.9%, PAT growth of 30%. Results are all there and uploaded, so I will not dwell too much into that. What I'll move on to is the performance quarter on quarter. And, you know, if you look at the two-year performance as a CAGR as well, it's been pretty strong. And even on a three-year basis, it's been, as I had read out to you earlier, a strong double-digit number. And operating profit growth too, the number is in double digit if you take the 2 year, 3 year CAGR for half yearly results. For the quarter, typically the two quarters last year and this year as well in second quarter, the raw material prices have tended to peak and then had sloped downwards. So the quarter has been a bit impacted in both the years, last year and this year, though we had fared and we had actually grown positively last year. Only one company in the entire paint domain which had done so. But this year, you know, it has impacted. And the growth rate that we could have seen was slightly lower. Gross margin trends, more or less it has been hovering around similar levels, you know, for the last few quarters. At around that mark of 35%. Likely to move up, as I mentioned, in quarter 3 and quarter 4 because of the softening primarily of raw materials and also a positive mix change in these two quarters. Consol results on similar lines of standalone, slightly pulled down by the Polish operations, the Bolix Poland operation that we have. The Ukraine war, it has been impacted. The Poland results are therefore, you know, slightly below what they normally do. It's been negative in quarter two as well. And that's why, again, you know, against the delivery of top line of 22.5 in the standalone, in the consolidated results, you see a lowering of that to 20%. Primarily due to the Bolix Poland operation. All the other figures that you have in the presentation is already there with you, so I won't get into the details. I will just speak about the consolidated performances of various companies within. BGN Nepal had a good quarter of performance, both on the top line and profitability. The Polish subsidiary, Bolix SA, had degrown, as I mentioned, both in top line and profitability, impacted by the Ukraine war and high inflation there, negatively impacting the consolidated numbers. STP showed strong double-digit growth on both sales and profits. This is our construction chemical company, which we acquired about 2 years back, is doing very well and growing well on sales and profits during the year, aided by improvement in gross margin there. Specialty coatings, Sabu coatings, had a flat top line growth and a muted profit growth. The top line growth was low due to the fan industry impact, just like we faced the same problem in powder coatings within Berger. The Sabu coatings division also had a problem there, but it is going to recover very strongly in the Q3 and Q4 period when the fan industry starts, you know, filling up the pipelines, producing much more. So this growth will come back. Companies joint ventures, Berger Nippon Paint Automotive Coatings and Berger Becker Coatings, both registered strong performance on top line and profitability, aided by product price increases. Outlook, demand in urban markets looks encouraging, hoping for an uptick in the rural demand as well on the back of good monsoon. The mix improvement is likely in the coming quarters, supported by increased sale of exterior coatings. Industrial sales outlook remains strong on the back of growth in auto sector and government spending in infrastructure. Key raw material prices like monomers and solvents softened towards the end of Q2 and likely to remain so in Q3 and Q4. However, exchange rate depreciation on account of strong US dollar may be a concern. That's all that we have to say from our side. Open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Vishal Punamia from Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I actually had a question on the overall demand environment. So Vijit, if you can just help us understand how things are panning out within the quarter across product categories as well as regions. And you called out that the volume growth for the quarter was in double digits. So was it in low double digit, and if the volume growth was in 11-12% range, it seems that there is a decent improvement in the volume growth momentum compared to the previous quarter. So what are the key drivers of this improvement?
Right. Thank you. You know, I'll just answer two of your. One is the demand outlook, you know, which was there, or demand situation which was there in quarter two. Quarter two demand was pretty robust, I would say. As you heard, you know, we did have a double-digit volume growth. That double-digit volume growth was in the lower double digits, as you rightly said. You know, it was about 11-odd percentage, and the value growth in decorative was to the tune of 23% plus. Industrial, in some of the categories, it was higher, and some it was lower. So on an average, it was very similar to the decorative type, slightly lower than that. So this was the case as far as the second quarter is concerned. You asked another question, which was related to, what was the second part here?
The key drivers of this growth, the product, the regions which did well.
Right. So, you know, mostly the urban markets did fairly well. compared to the rural areas, there was stronger growth in the urban markets for us. Some of the product categories which did well, you know, was the some of the emulsion categories did fairly well, you know, for us, especially the premium and the luxury premium type of categories. In the interior space, exterior growth was muted. The waterproofing grew very well in the second quarter as well. So overall, if you look at it, the situation was, you know, very stable as far as demand growth was concerned. The one area of concern was the escalating raw material prices, which again started softening towards the end of the quarter.
Okay. So if I just do an imputed realization for the quarter, if I just take the standalone sales growth of around 22.5% and the volume growth of 11%, so the imputed realization for this quarter is around 11.5-12%. This is obviously lower than the 18.5% seen in the previous quarter. And we have called out that the premium segment actually did well, and the urban markets did well in 2Q. So what is actually leading to this lower realization for the quarter?
So there are two reasons for it. You know, one is, you know, in the premium segment, we did well only in the interior. The exterior category was, you know, very badly affected because of excessive rain. So that was the reason why, you know, and then the most of the price increases that have happened were in categories which were linked to the exterior category. And hence, you know, if you look at the price increases that we have taken, there are certain categories where there has been negligible price increase. There are certain categories where there have been very minimal or moderate price increases, and there are some categories where we have heavier price increases. Unfortunately, you know, the mix that is taken into account while calculating this 22 or 21% and why is it now 12%, that takes into account, you know, the average mix for the year. And quarter to quarter, there is significant variation which happens. So in the quarter of this June, July, August, September, which is a rainy season, most of the material which sells is enamel, distemper, primer, putty, and then interior emulsions, because the exterior remains impacted. So this particular mix, therefore, you know, so in case of, for example, putty, or for that matter, you know, some of the waterproofing items, there was no price increase at all. And therefore, you know, it will tend to impact overall realization that will happen. But you will see the realization improve if it had been a normal mix. So this is the reason why this variation tends to happen.
Okay. Thank you, and I'll come back for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, Avi.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, hi. I wanted to understand, you know, the margin profile a little better. Basically, this time we saw a high cost, you know, RM, which we didn't pass on completely. But as we go forward, mix is improving. Input costs are also kind of moderating. So from that sense, if I think like last quarter, you said normalized gross margins should be more like 37 and 38. Should we not see that kind of starting to, you know, maybe beyond that also in the next quarter itself? Or is there anything that we should be watching out for?
So you're right, Avi, you know, it will move up to that level, you know, about that range of 37 to 38 is what I would expect at the end of quarter three. And because some of the raw materials is still there, you know, in October, for example, which was still being consumed of prior vintage. But it will go back to that range of about 37 to 38 in the third quarter is what I would expect. And subsequently, in the fourth quarter, if things remain at these levels, then we might see a slightly higher improvement on that as well.
Perfect, sir. Very clear. So the second bit I wanted to understand is on the CapEx side. Now, we have just, you know, commissioned the large capacity that we were working on for so long. But, you know, there has been announced by other players about wanting to do backward integration as well. Wanted to hear your thoughts, whether would you kind of want to evaluate that, or where we are in terms of capacity, we are fairly, wanted to just get your views on that front, sir.
Right. You know, so as far as the capacity addition is concerned, it was very much needed by us. At the rate at which we are growing, we would have reached about, you know, in normal circumstances, in a normal month, we would be around 80-85% type of capacity level. And in seasonal months, you know, we tend to struggle to supply, you know. So therefore, this is a much needed addition, and it will suffice our needs for the next 2-2.5 years. Maybe 3 years. We will have to look for additional capacity, either brownfield or greenfield after that. As far as the second part is concerned of backward integration, I presume you are talking in terms of the leader who have announced certain things and certain moves. We are not looking at that area. We don't use VAM or VAM ethylene in any of our products so far. We are not into adhesives where the consumption of VAM is higher. We are not into certain other types of, you know, categories which they might be thinking of. Actually, you know, this VAM and VAM ethylene can also be, especially VAM ethylene is an ingredient as far as a product called RD polymer, which can be made out of this. But it has, you know, it can be made also from acrylic based technology, and we are working on that direction rather than the VAM ethylene direction.
Got it, sir. Got it. So, I mean, from that, and sir, as a concept, just wanted to understand, you know, capacity, is that a way to argue for competitive strength in any manner? Would you kind of argue on that, or is it much more nuanced than that? How would you like to hear your views on that front? Because there has been, you know, this is just a broader question, given that a lot of capacity addition is being planned in this industry. So wanted to understand, just, you know, would that change the competitive dynamics? Is that a competitive advantage? And how do you see that?
No, I personally don't think, I've been in this industry for a long time now, you know, I don't think this is really a competitive advantage, you know, as and when the demand is, you know, rising, I'm sure, you know, anyone and everyone will put up the capacity required for this purpose of servicing this coming up demand, you know. So upcoming demand, you know, when you see that the projection, we keep doing that projection on a 3-year cycle. And whenever it is required that investment needs to be made, that is the time when one should make the investment. I don't see this, you know, as a big competitive edge. Some of the commodity categories, like, you know, if you scale up and become very big, you know, you stand to gain advantage. In this case, that is not the case, you know. So therefore, a capacity addition by itself is of no great consequence, or it doesn't add to any competitive advantage.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. That's all from my side. I'll come back in the queue for the other questions. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you luck.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Harsh Shah from Incred. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. So my question is more on the network expansion. We've added close to 6,000 sales point and more than 3,000 tinting machines in the first half, which is kind of close to 2x of what we do on an annual basis. So would like to understand what are your plans for the next 12 to 18 months on the expansion front?
I didn't get it, where you got the number of 6,000 machines being added in the first half.
No, 6,000 number of sales points which you mentioned in your presentation as machines.
Right.
Yeah. So both on the number of dealers as well as the tinting machine, right? I think the expansion in the first 6 months has been, more than what we do on an annual basis, right? So what are your plans, sir, over the next 12 to 18 months in this area?
Yeah, so, you know, as far as this area is concerned, you know, we, as you know, we are a number two player, but, you know, there are a large number of pockets where we are very weakly represented on the ground. And it was very necessary that we ramped up our presence in many of these markets. That's what we are doing, you know, filling up the gaps to the extent possible. And that this ramping up will continue. So you can take it that in the second half as well, it will be at a similar pace or slightly higher than this, in the second half, and this will continue for the next 1 to 2 years going forward, because this needs to be done in order to penetrate the market in large places and swaths of India where we are weakly represented.
Okay, so basically, sir, which basically geographies would these be, and which town classes would these be, largely in tier 2, tier 3 cities, or it's spread across both metros and tier 2, tier 3 cities expansion, sir?
Largely tier 2, tier 3 cities and in upcountry areas, especially okay. In domains in the south and the west, where we are less present there.
Okay. And sir, could you help me with the current count? I mean, the total dealer count is on September and total tinting machine count is on September?
Well, you know, our total tinting machine numbers will be somewhere around, 36,000-37,000, possibly. Exact numbers I don't have with me now, but, somewhere around that number it will be. Then the dealer count numbers will be slightly higher than that. Typically, the gap between the tinting machine dealers and the non-tinting machine dealers is varying between 5,000 to 7,000.
Okay.
You can add up that number to it.
Okay, so this number, let's say close to 45,000 odd numbers is the active dealer count, right, sir, or the total dealer count?
This is, how you define active, it depends on that. A lot of companies define active in different ways. So you have to, if some companies define it as single liter build is active, some companies define as consistent number of liters build as active. So it depends on how you define, I am talking of, at least doing certain amount of sale in a year. And that is how we define an active dealer. And that number is what I am talking about.
Okay. Sure. And sir, second bit on the construction chemicals front, if you could give numbers, how big would that be as a percentage of our overall business now?
So it's improving, and because it is growing much faster, it is becoming increasingly important. Exact percentage I won't be able to tell you, but it is becoming significant gradually.
Okay, so much of it is much of the kind of improvement which we are getting here more from the project side of the business, or it's split evenly between B2B and B2C, specifically for construction materials?
Yeah, so it's much of it today is on the retail side. Some amount is also now gaining traction on the project side as well, and I think going forward both of it will continue to grow.
Okay. And lastly, on the project business, sir, has the growth been more than the overall company growth for us for the current quarter?
Slightly more. It is similar almost.
Okay. And what would be the contribution, sir, to the overall business for us, project say? I mean, high single digits, low double digits? Would that be fair enough?
No, it's about, I would say, near high single digits, as of now, to the total overall thing.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Mihir Shah from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, on the near-term demand, we believe October has seen an extended monsoon, and some players have already called out that demand in October is kind of muted. Can one say that volume growth can be impacted in the third quarter because of this phenomena?
So it's difficult to say, whether the volume growth will be impacted and to what extent. It will all depend on November and December. Yes, the rains did impact, in the first 15 days. The overall sales was impacted. There were many holidays as well, so that also created some amount of turbulence and disturbance in the whole system. We did manage to grow, but obviously, the growth rate was not at the pace at which we were doing earlier. But we expect that in November and December, some of that growth will come back because some of it would have been postponed, because of the rain. Typically, we have seen even in the COVID periods that when the COVID got over, it started picking up. Painting and paint, tends to get, postponed. Whether it will be coming in November, December, or whether it comes in Jan, Feb, March is difficult to say. But we expect an upturn in November and December to make up for some of the losses in demand growth that would have happened in October.
Precisely, sir. I exactly was wanting to ask that, that given a festive demand was due and with festive days passing by, will this demand come back immediately or probably just next year? But I hear your point, sir. So secondly, I wanted to check on the, you know, pricing front. If you know, last year during November and December, all paid players have taken sharp price hikes and that will anniversarize now. So, you, and incrementally, I believe, given the raw material prices are softening, there is no further requirement as of now to take price increases. And so volume growth being where it is, value growth will also start seeing muted because of absence of price hikes or, you know, price-led growth. So in that context, you know, any, what would be your thoughts and how should we think or look, you know, going forward for the, from that point of view?
Yeah, so, you know, you are right that, you know, the volume value differential that we were getting earlier, obviously will get reduced, you know, because there were some of them which happened in November, price increases last year, and some happened in December last year. A few of them happened in January, February as well. But, you know, the impact and the percentage of difference between volume and value will get reduced in the third quarter. So if volume growth and value growth differential that we got this quarter was about 12%, going forward that will get much reduced in the third quarter. However, you know, the mix will change. So we will get some impact of that still. And the second part of it is, you know, it depends on the volume growth that we register ultimately at the end of December. So we have to wait and see how it happens.
Understood, sir. And so my last question, actually, just wanted to hear your thought on the entire capacity increase that we are, you know, hearing across all key paint players across the board. So, you know, everybody really called out large capacity increase on the onset of a huge capex called out by Grasim. Can one consider, would there be a risk of industry undergoing overcapacity, you know, in a couple of years' time, given growth is what it is, you know, and because of so much of large capacity coming on stream at the same time, you know, can there be a risk of overcapacity at all? I mean, or you think, or there is ample of still space for everybody to continue the similar volume trajectory that we are doing right now in the near to medium term, sir?
So, you know, from our perspective, I mentioned that earlier as well, that, you know, we don't invest, you know, in advance hoping for something to happen. We are investing seeing that, you know, we are already reaching a stage where we are not able to fulfill our demand that is growing every year with our existing capacity. So we have put up this capacity at Lucknow, you know, primarily to cater to our demand. You know, if the demand doesn't fall precipitously and continues to grow, which I expect that, you know, we will continue to grow at a reasonably good pace, you know, going forward as well, then I see no reason. In fact, we may have to look for more additional capacity as far as we are concerned. What others are doing, why they are doing, whether, you know, they will have, you know, something, you know, in terms of demand and whether they will be able to, you know, justify the investment is for them to understand. As far as we are concerned, I don't see that. And even if you look at the industry, this is not like a commodity category, like, you know, cement, you know, you have a glut and the prices start dropping because you have to have, you know, operating ratios, you know, you have to operate the plant and there's a fixed cost involved. Here, there is no such, you know, great issue there. So, you know, possibly other people, if they don't have the demand, they will operate at lesser levels. You know, some amount of cost increase might happen, but it won't be significant.
Got it. Completely hear your point, sir. Thank you very much. And that's all from my side. Wishing you all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. So first question is, we are seeing this rapid distribution network expansion across in the industry, and we are also actually doing a very good job on that count. So just wanted to know, is it that we are adding existing paint dealers into our network, or we are expanding the network itself by converting non-paint dealers into paint dealers?
Right. So the both is happening. You know, one of them, you know, the machine are typically going mostly into paint dealer counters, and few of them also in non-paint dealer, but mostly in paint dealer counters. As far as the non-paint retail expansion that is happening, those are primarily non-paint dealers. They may be hardware dealers, they may be pipe dealers, they may be cement dealers. It can be anything, and they are building material dealers, and we are expanding there. There is a need for normal paint, you know, without the machines also, which can be sold easily. And later on, if some of these counters, you know, they will morph into good paint counters where we can install our machines at a later date.
Yeah. So, sir, that would mean that going forward, as we bring more and more non-paint dealers into the network, the predictability of numbers or revenue that we use dealer count for, it loses relevance in terms of what we used to do earlier, let's say throughput per dealer. And we should see more it as a, more of it as a kind of protecting the moat or expanding the moat, tactical or a strategic moat rather than a growth driver by itself. Is that a fair understanding?
No, I think, you know, this is very much required in a country like India. You know, you need to get your presence there, and availability of material is very necessary. As I said, you know, we are very weakly represented in many parts of the country, especially in the south and west, you know, upcountry areas. We need to improve our presence there. We have a necessity of actually, you know, putting up any form of retail counter, whether with machine or without machine, to have our presence in those markets. It's a strategic growth opportunity for us. I don't see it as a tactical move.
Fair point, sir. So second, the announcement that we have seen from cement player getting into our space, the impact on demand or distribution will come to know only when they formally launch the product. But are you sensing any pressure on talent crunch or talent retention? We have already seen one company announcing ESOP plans for their employees for the first time. Other also we are picking up from LinkedIn that attrition is very high. So any thoughts on that?
So, you know, some amount of attrition will happen, you know, obviously, you know, there is a loss of manpower, which is expected, you know, when newcomers come in, they look for experienced people from existing players, and therefore, a little bit of attrition will happen. We, however, have our own policies in place, you know, structures in place. We do encourage, we have ESOPs running for a long time, in fact, in our company. And in our case, it goes down right up to the area manager level. And then many of them have benefited immensely out of it. We try and retain our talent as much as possible. But there will be a little bit of attrition, which is expected. And we are prepared for it.
Sure. And so lastly, if you can comment on competitive intensity currently in terms of rebates and discounts by peers and industry in general.
I would say it's at, you know, normal level. In fact, you know, previous year there was, you know, more rebating going on, especially from the market leader. This year, you know, there has been lessening of that intensity of rebate, possibly a little bit. And therefore, you know, going forward, I don't know, but the situation is, you know, pretty normal now. It's a competitive industry. There will be, you know, a standard level of rebates and fights which will go on, and that happens and that carries on.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Varun Singh from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, sir. Two questions. First on in waterproofing business, sir, how much we have been able to leverage our existing distribution channel? So if you can give some objective understanding over there, and also with regard to how we map to grow the category. So maybe if you can give an example that if X is the total distribution reach, then in what percentage we are able to sell our waterproofing products?
Right. So, you know, waterproofing product sells, you know, through two different channels. One is, of course, the retail distribution channel that we have. And many of the products which are there is actually, you know, can be sold through the paint channel, because the repair part of it happens through the paint network itself. And so that we are, you know, wherever, you know, I think a fairly strong reach is there as far as the paint network is concerned. It also sells through the cement retail network. We haven't made any great attempt there in the cement retail network. So that's an opportunity area which exists. The third part of it is the project segment. And in that, you know, we are utilizing our project team to sell the waterproofing products. There is a growth opportunity available in the project segment, and I think we will accelerate our growth in that area in the near future.
Sir, in the paint retail outlets, roughly what percentage of the outlets we would be able to sell our product as on today?
So we don't calculate it in that way. I don't have the numbers, but it will be fairly large.
Ballpark estimate like 30-40% or 20-30%.
Yeah, it should be beyond that. You know, 30-35% should be definitely be there, which will be selling our waterproofing product.
Okay, so sir, and so my second question is on emerging competition. So if you can give some understanding with regards to how competition is shaping up, for example, Indigo Paints or JSW Paints, etc., in the market where we are already strong. Comment over there, sir, would be highly appreciated.
So, you know, we have been growing at a fairly, as you can see from the figures, and we have been gaining market share. So we are happy with what we are doing. We have our own strategy in place. Competition is there and will be there. I don't see any of these players impacting so far, you know, in any significant way, our strategies or our growth plans. So that's going on as per plan, and we are growing.
Okay, so that means no market share loss in any of the existing players?
No, we have gained market share. We made the presentation, and we also showed that, you know, we have actually gained market share. Over the last 4-5 years, we've been gaining gradually. And this year, half year or two, we have gained market share in the marketplace.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful, sir. Thank you very much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Akshay Shen Thakkar from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah. Sorry, see, two questions. Just to clarify, you mentioned the gap between value and volume growth, which is about 12% this quarter, goes down. Is it possible to quantify it in the sense, you know, Q3 last year would have seen high single digit price hike, so that this come down to like low to mid single digit, the gap between the two? That's question one. And then question two was around the cold end business. Could you just clarify for us as to how that business is growing? I think last year in the annual report, you mentioned the turnover over there at about 375 crores in INR terms, you know, given the kind of geopolitical tension that you're seeing in that geography. How is that business behaving? Thank you. Those two questions from my side.
Yeah, thank you. You know, so the gap, yes, you know, you are right that the gap will between the volume and the value will get reduced. You know, it was about 12 odd percentage, you know, in quarter two, but it will come to single digit in quarter three. At what single digit will depend on the mix, you know, but it will definitely be lower than the gap that existed in quarter two. As far as the Poland business is concerned, you are right, you know, on the figure, it is actually degrowing in Poland, you know, so that is why, you know, it impacted our consolidated sales. In quarter two, it had a degrowth, and in quarter three as well, you know, we are expecting that there will be a marginal degrowth there as well.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sorry to belabor the point, but I also just wanted to ask this volume-value gap, which is 12%. This 12% has two elements. One is the pure price increases, and one is the mix impact. So if I try to disaggregate these two, would you say that the pure price increase is somewhere around the 20% YOY, and the mix impact is 8%, or are the numbers something else?
No. Okay. Let me clarify this once again. Maybe I've not been able to explain this properly. This 20% that you mentioned is on an average. If you take a look at the entire year's average product mix, if you take a look at that, you will get a 20% type of an increase. However, what happens is in this monsoon season, it's a different type of a market, right? It's torrential rain happening. You don't expect that exterior painting will happen, right? And therefore, it tends to change the mix completely and quite a dramatic shift which happens. So those who are in the paint industry for a long time know that in this period, it is typically the wholesaling stocking up which happens, enamel, distemper, primer, putty, etc., and then low-end type of products which sell. So that's the problem of the mix which is created. Now, when the price increases took place last year, much of the price increases were actually in exterior products or in certain other products where the increases were substantial. In some product categories, like enamel, it was much depressed in terms of increase. The total increase percentage was much lower. Similarly, in putty, there was barely any price increase. Similarly, in terms of some of the other product categories also, there were very little price increases. As a result of that, when these type of products grew and the other products where the price increases happened did not grow, some of them declined actually a little bit. Therefore, the overall impact was like that. Now, whether this will carry on and you can now project it onto the other quarters is not possible to say because it won't happen that way, right? Because the third quarter, the whole mix will change and the percentage will change. So I can't comment on that, whether it is 20 minus 12, therefore 8% is the mix, and the mix will reverse this quarter or not. That won't happen in that way. It depends on the type of products and the mix that we generate in the third quarter.
Understood. I understand what you are saying, but I'll just simplify my question. My question is that the mix that you had this quarter and the mix that you had in 2Q of last year, is it materially different, or is that mix more or less on a YOY basis, the mix is roughly the same?
That is roughly the same. There was some deterioration in the mix this year on account of the excessive rainfall that was there this year. And some amount of so that is the reason why it got a little bit distorted compared to last year's quarter two.
Okay. Understood, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. I just had a bookkeeping question. Wanted to understand the reason for the increase in receivable days or debtor days. Has there been any change in the mix which has driven that, or is it because the dealer terms have changed?
No, dealer terms haven't changed, Avi. So it's primarily that there has been, I think, the prices have gone up substantially for most of the finished goods. So there has been when the money flow is there is a limited money flow only. So there has been a little bit of a two, three days of delay in terms of number of days that you are seeing in the receivables. But receivables is well within control. There is no cause of worry at all.
So just some liquidity here and there. That's all.
It is a liquidity-related issue which will settle down soon.
Got it, sir. Got it. That's all from my side. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for coming and, you know, attending to this session. You know, I hope we have been able to clarify most of your questions. All the best to you, and, you know, have a nice weekend which is coming up. And thank you very much once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.